It's 3:45 p.m. Filipino Standard Time. We got some Visaya language in the background. You want to say anything, Ario? You want to say, hello, viewers. How are you? Maybe you could become a star. How about, would you like to say anything?
Hello, viewers.
Okay. So, oh, they're shy. Okay. If I paid you to talk, would you talk? How much would I have to pay you? Okay, so, let's see, weather report. It says it's 31 degrees right now. It says it feels like 37. Humidity is 61%. Sun Ray has his fingers in his ears. Okay. He was bothering his mother. I had to threaten to hit him with my back scratcher. I don't know why these dogs are all barking. Oh, for the... Okay. Okay. So, let's see. Oh, it's supposed to be sunny tomorrow. 60% chance of thunderstorms. It rains almost every day here.
Did it rain today?
Yes,
it did. Okay. Okay. I tried to listen to this podcast from the New York. Podcast from the New Yorker or whatever they want to call it, and I can't get it. So here we go. The original version of his obituary said that he fell into a cauldron of scalding water used to slough the skin off slaughtered hogs. The correction clarified that the scalding water was used for sloughing off the hair. Dehairing a shoat is the sort of thing Cruz knew all about, along with cooking possum, cleaning a rooster's craw, making moonshine, trapping birds, tanning hides, and getting rid of screw worms. I keep on telling my son to wear his flip-flops so he doesn't get worms, but he doesn't seem to want to believe me. We often wonder why a writer fades from prominence, but with Cruz, it's easy to chart the course to his obscurity. There's so much brawling, drinking, domestic abuse, disease, mutilation, racist talk, racial violence, rape, sociopathy, and womanizing in his work that no algorithm could design an author more certain to fail the Bechdel test, the DuVernay test, the Vito Russo test, any other test to which art is subjected these days. But Cruz wrote about what he knew, not as endorsements or even by the way of explanation. It was simply the wellspring for his writing. Forsaking regions and forgotten subcultures were Cruz material. His novels, including The Hawk is Dying, which is his best known, and A Feast of Snakes, which is his best, were flawed, but the memoir is flawless, one of the finest ever written by an American. Cruz was a decade into his career with 6 novels to his name when his publisher rejected an autobiographical manuscript that he submitted. The memoir that he crafted in the face of that rejection answers some specific questions, namely where its author came from and how he became a writer, but it asks broader ones too. Why anyone becomes anything. This guy named David Frodsham, Frodsham, just got elected, got arrested for child pornography.
Okay.
He was in the army. And
go ahead. Do you want to get paid? Does she got to get paid now?
When he was in Afghanistan, he asked somebody to hook him up with unicorn.
Good afternoon.
His adopted
Mary
son
can take care of it. She's
and other children have said that he had sex with them. And what else here? Frodsham, former Sergeant Randall Bishock, and a third man not associated with the Army are all serving prison terms for the roles they played in the child sex abuse ring. But the investigation is continuing because Sierra Vista police believe additional men took part. Now the criminal investigation is spilling over into civil court, where two of Frodsham's adopted sons have filed separate lawsuits against the state for licensing David and Barbara Frodsham as foster parents in a home where they say they were physically and sexually abused throughout their lives. A third adopted son is expected to file suit Tuesday. Oh, it's so sad. I don't even want to read it. Oh, Will Smith slapped Chris Rock on TV and dropped a couple F-bombs. F-bombs is what we call that word that starts with an F and has four letters. Oh, Will Smith apologizes and says, "I was out of line and I was wrong." That's too bad they didn't do something to him that night and told him, "Hey, get off the stage." And I was thinking, this would be a really good joke if Will Smith is going to be at the Oscars next year. He can say, "Who are you going to slap this year, Will Smith?" I guess the Final Four is this weekend. That's an NCAA basketball tournament. People love to do betting pools on that. They're having a lockdown in Shanghai. Taliban hardliners turning back the clock in Afghanistan. Say it isn't so. Can you believe that? Let me read that. This is by Kathy Gannon. Taliban hardliners are turning back the clock in Afghanistan with a flurry of repressive edicts over the past days that hark to their harsh rule from the late 1990s. Girls have been banned from going to school beyond the sixth grade. Women are barred from boarding airplanes if they travel unaccompanied by a male relative. So a woman can be with a six-year-old kid and she can travel. Men and women can only visit public parks on separate days, and the use of mobile telephones in universities is prohibited. It doesn't stop there. International media broadcasts, including the Pashto and Persian BBC services, which broadcast in the two languages of Afghanistan, are off the air as of this week. So our foreign drama series. Since the Taliban seized control of the country in mid-August during the last chaotic weeks of the U.S. and NATO pullout after 20 years of war, the international community has been concerned that they would impose the same strict laws as when they previously ruled Afghanistan. I just saw this on Alternate, and it's about the, this is by Megan Ellis, and she says, QAnon has slowly infiltrated the Republican Party, replacing its traditional conservative values with far-right conspiratorial theories that have nothing to do with reality.
For everything. I don't have any
New York Mag's Jacob Silverman explaining how QAnon has practically overtaken the Republican Party. While the radicalized beliefs were previously verbalized among factions, affiliations of the political party. Silverman notes how these beliefs are progressively becoming more mainstream. QAnon's adherents tend to espouse some selection of bizarre beliefs from the conspiracist buffet that includes accusations of pedophile politicians eating children, secret political tribunals in Guantanamo Bay, a great bloodletting, and Donald Trump swooping in to free us from evil. One day, or maybe the day after, the prophecy is flexible, which is why it has evolved and endured. The latest exemplar of the GOP's descent into anything goes nuttery is Ginny Thomas, wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and a well-connected conservative activist who recently admitted to attending the January 6th Stop the Steal rally in Washington, D.C. Ginny's right-wing beliefs have long been known, but leaked texts between her and then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows revealed Thomas's commitment to overturning the election based on an apparently sincere belief that Joe Biden had stolen the presidency. She encouraged Meadows to help put a stop to Democratic perfidy, P-E-R-F-I-D-Y. The majority knows Biden and the left is attempting the greatest heist of our history. When I just saw this on Alternate, and it's about the, this is by Megan Ellis, and the Taliban has told all airlines to not let women fly without a chaperone. They can't take domestic or international flights, so I guess they can't run away from their husbands or boyfriends. Roads aren't working too good there in Afghanistan. They were busy blowing up the ones the Americans were making. So I think you can have a six-year-old chaperone. Okay. The United States on Friday canceled planned meetings with Taliban officials on key economic issues due to its decision on Wednesday. The sources who are not being named for security reasons said that the Afghanistan Ministry for the Propagation of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice sent airlines a letter on Saturday informing of them of the new restrictions. Okay, so these are the guys that went over there from Saudi Arabia. They added that unaccompanied women who had already booked flights would be allowed to travel on Sunday and Monday. Some women with tickets had found a second black box from that airliner that nosedived like so high in the sky. As a China Eastern Boeing 737-800. I've flown with them before. Okay. Firefighters taking part in the search found the flight data recorder on a mountain slope about 40 meters from the point of impact and 1.5 meters underground, state media said. Experts confirmed it was the second black box. The impact of the crash created a 20-meter deep pit in the side of the mountain. Let's see who wrote this. Ken Moritsugu, okay? AP News. Searchers had been looking for the data recorder after finding the cockpit voice recorder 4 days ago. The two black boxes should help investigators determine what caused the plane to plummet from 8,800 meters about 1 hour into the flight shortly before it would have begun its descent. It fell like 90 over 90 seconds. The remote setting and rainy and muddy conditions have complicated the search for the black boxes and wreckage. Images posted by CGTN, the international arm of CCTV, showed an official holding an orange cylindrical object on site with the words "flight recorder" and "do not open" written on it. It appears slightly dented, but intact. But it doesn't really help to have English. I don't know if the Chinese can read so well. The search was paused Sunday afternoon for a 3-minute moment of silence for the 123 passengers and 9 crew members. Emergency workers took off their helmets and police and soldiers their caps. Standing in groups in formation, they bowed their heads as sirens blared. Flight MU-375 crashed Monday en route from the city of Kunming in southeastern China to Guangzhou, a major city and export manufacturing hub near Hong Kong. Guangzhou's a really big town. It takes an hour to drive across. An air traffic controller tried to contact the pilot several times after seeing the plane's altitude drop sharply, but got no reply, officials have said. Okay, so that's, okay, let me get this off.
So let's see, we got a lot of sound effects today. Excuse me. Ray, do you want to say anything for the podcast? Can you say, no thank you? No thank you? No thank you? I don't want to speak to your viewers. Okay. I give everybody a chance. Nobody talks. Nobody speaks. Let's see. Primary mission is to entertain. Second is to instruct. Please tune in again tomorrow.